on my heart, and don't anybody get in a hurry. You ought to be able to spend a few minutes in church on the morning if you're not coming back at night. Don't get in any big hurry. Don't worry about the beans on the stove. All right, God, put them in a crock pot. If you're worried about them burning, put them on low. Uh-oh, Benny, too high there. Put them on low and let them simmer. In fact, they green beans, just let them sit there and simmer until what? When I was at home, we used to can and used to grow a garden. Miss Hall said, I'm going to cook them beans down real good. Now, I like them cooked down real good. In fact, about the second or third, maybe the fourth cooking down, they get just about right about that time. And I like them that way. So don't worry about them burning. Amen to God. And they'll be there when you get home. Song of Solomon again this morning, please. And chapter number 4. I feel crazy in these glasses. I'm going to have to break down and go get my others fixed. I may try to read this morning without them. I don't feel right wearing sunglasses. They're prescription, though, but I still feel odd wearing them in the house of God. I think folks think I'm trying to be cool, and I never was trying to be cool when I was lost, much less now to say, and I'm things right there. I don't need magnifying glasses. I need a pair of glasses. Amen. Spectacle. But I might be able to use them, and I don't know. All right, Song of Solomon, chapter number 4, and when you get there, let's stand together, and we'll read our text this morning. Song of Solomon, chapter number 4. Again, we're going to read verse number 1. Solomon said, Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer this morning. Our Father, I'm thankful this morning for the song service that we've enjoyed, the Sunday school hour. Thank you for your presence and your people. I do pray for your divine help, Lord. I'm just a sinner saved by the grace of God, called to preach, set in this place. Now I pray that you'll anoint me this morning with the power of God, with the Holy Ghost and with fresh oil, that I might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ, that, Lord, that the ears of the deaf might be opened, the eyes of the blind may be opened as well, that they might see and behold great and glorious things out of the law of God. Now I pray for your people, Lord, that are struggling, those that are, Lord, in temptation, and those that are in storms, those, Lord, that are cold, those that are indifferent and backslidden on God. I pray for them. I pray for the lost to be saved. And I need your help now, so touch me. Grant me the liberty and the unction that I need this morning. Help my mind to think clearly, and may the Spirit of God, prophesy through me this morning to this people, and I'll thank you for your blessings upon me and them alike, and help me to glorify your name, and we'll thank you for it in the name of our Lord Jesus and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Our thought this morning is found in that last statement in verse number 2, where Solomon said, Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. He said, as I stand and look upon Mount Gilead at a flock of goats and the hair upon those goats, I have likened that to the church. Your hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. If the Lord be my helper this morning, I want to preach for a little while on this thought. Is your hairstyle right with God? Amen. Is your hairstyle right with God? Is your hair pleasing to God? Somebody said, Preacher, that's kind of strange and odd thought to be preaching upon. It might be, but that's what I'm preaching on this morning. Amen. Does your hair please God? Amen. Is it pleasing to God? Now, the hair mentioned here in verse number 1 is the second commendation that our Lord gives to His church in this verse of Scripture. He first likened them to having dove's eyes within the veil. And then He gives them a great commendation and describes the beauty of that church by likening us to the hair of a flock of goats that appear upon Mount Gilead. Now, in the Scripture, the church is always used in the feminine gender. And in the hair of a woman lies great comeliness. I want to say, ladies, right here and now, that it would behoove you to take great pride in the hair that God has given you on your head. The hair is a thing of great beauty and great comeliness when it is well kept and maintained. But may I say that when it is not right in the eyes of the Lord, it can be one of the most ugliest and profane things that a woman can bear. I'm not preaching where you think I am this morning, but I am going to hit it a little bit. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I am put out with shorn heads on women and cropped haircuts on women. That Bible said, now this Bible says, that a woman's hair is her covering. It says that her hair is her glory. And it also says if she be shorn, then she is ashamed of her head. Somebody said, some woman said, cutting off my hair has never bothered my head. Why don't you, and I get this now, why don't you ask him? Because the head that it shames is your husband. For at the head of every man is Christ. And the head of every woman is the man. And if your hair be shaved and shorn, the Bible said that it is a shame or a disgrace to your man. I'm going to tell you why. Because you're trying to be like he is. And God has never made a woman to be like a man. And never made a man to be like a woman. But I'm telling you, we're living in a generation where women want to be men, and men want to be women, and they meet in the middle and call themselves gays. I'm going to tell you what I call them, sodomites. They are sodomites. Oh, somebody said, preacher, you're on the World Wide Web, and what are you going to do if one of them hears you? I'm going to look him or her in their God-given eyeballs and tell them that they are a sodomite in the eyes of God, and they are reproach in the eyes of God, and they are not comely in the eyes of God, and they are going to hell without God and without hope, and will spend eternity, my friend, in a lake of fire in torment where their worm dieth not, and their thirst shall never be quenched by a drop of water. Amen to God. I know that's right. If you neglect your hair, if it's left dirty and unattended, she is not highly esteemed at all, and she's certainly not beautiful to those that look upon her. I've never seen anybody with nasty hair that I thought was attractive. Amen to God. Whether it be a man or whether it be a woman. I'm telling you, it don't hurt to change the oil in your hair quite frequently. Yes, sir, your car needs a little oil change and your hair needs a little oil change. Oh, yes, sir. I wash my hair every day and sometimes twice a day. I take a shower
two times a day, and most of the time, if I've been out working and laboring, I'll wash my hair morning and night both. Amen and amen. To keep it clean and neat and as attractive as what I possibly can. I'm just simply saying, if your hair is neglected, my friend, rather than being comely and adding beauty to your person, it's not beautiful at all, but it makes you a disgrace, not only in the eyes of God, but in the eyes of everybody that behold you, whether you are a woman or a man.
Amen.
Does your hairstyle please God? Got her groomed right? Got her looking right? Is God satisfied when He looks upon your head at the hair on your head? Does your hairstyle please God? I don't know why I leave me now. Why do you think a woman spends so much time preparing her hair before going out in public? Huh? Any woman that's got half sense will groom her hair before she goes out in public. And look here, men, all you men, look up here. We've all been guilty of this, wanting to drag them out of the house before they're ready to be brought out of the house. Now, I'm going to say you ought to get up a little earlier in the mornings if it takes you a little more time to get ready. But whatever you do, let your wife spend enough time in front of that mirror to get herself presentable to all those that are going to come in contact with her. I said that to say this. The child of God ought to spend as much time as they need, my friend, prepping and preparing themselves that they might be presentable in the eyes of Almighty God. Don't nobody leave me now, for the Bible said, thy hair, the church's hair, your hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. In other words, my friend, the saints of God are likened unto the hair of a flock of goats. And He said that hair is beautiful. The Bible does. Said it's a covering and it's a woman's glory and it ought to be well taken care of. Now I'm here to tell you I'm about, bless God, getting ready to preach. I'm telling you, if women spend as much time as they do in preparing their hair for the public, should not you and I spend as much time in preparing our hearts and our lives that the public might see Christ in us and glorify our Lord Jesus. Oh, yes, I'm telling you that the hair of a flock of goats is a type of the church of the Lamb of God. Don't nobody get lost here now. Huh? We'll spend more time primping our hair, and it ought to be, than we will primping our hearts. How much time this week has been spent in primping your heart for God?
Amen.
Huh? I'm simply saying, bless your heart, we ought to try to be everything that we can be for the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And we ought to be presentable in public as well as the house of God.
Amen.
Has God liked your hairstyle this morning? Is it right with Almighty God? Oh, this is just the introduction. I hope God will let us get into this thing in a minute. Some of you ladies in here got to the point where you think Brother Hall ain't recognized the crop in your hair. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, I keep my eyes on. Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, that's just a old fogey thing that don't make a bit of difference with God. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, that God said a woman's hair is for her covering, and if she prays with a shorn head, she is a disgrace to Almighty God. And if a man prays with his head covered, that is long, shaggy, ponytail looking, sorry egg sucker, he is a disgrace in the eyes of God also. Thy hair, the church's hair, is like a flock of goats that appear on Mount Gilead. One writer said, when the sun rose in the mornings and set in the evenings, that the glory of the sun fell upon those goats that grazed upon Mount Gilead, and said most of them, their hair was a long, flowing, beautiful golden color. And said the sun upon that long hair of that whole flock, not just a goat, He said a flock of goats. He said a flock of goats. We are the sheep of His pasture. I know it says goats, but we are the flock of God. Oh, yes, God has made preachers overseers over the flock of God. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, He said the sun would shine upon that hair and said it was so beautiful and so glorious and so golden in texture and so long and beautiful. Amen to God. And that is what the Holy Ghost is lacking in the church too. I'm telling, oh my, God just said, hey, when the sun, when the S-O-N sun shines on His flock, amen to God, we ought to be as beautiful as a flock of goats that appear on Mount Gilead in the eyes of God. Hallelujah.
Boys, I feel like preaching a little bit, but I need a little bit of help from this crowd right here. I need a little bit of help from this crowd right here. Down this pew and all the way around the back and right back up to right here. I need a little help. I need a nod, an amen, a smile, an oh me or something. Huh? Miss Sharon back there ain't doing bad. She just ain't learned to get the full volume yet. But she'll get there one of these days. Now, I'm going to try to get into this. I want to say that those flock of goats and their hair represents the saints of God in their great number. I think we've gotten the idea there ain't nobody in this battle but us. But it said a flock of goats. Your hair is like a flock of goats, not one goat, two goats, three goats, a flock of goats, a bunch of goats. Amen to God. Now I'm telling you what, my friend, the children of God are more than the sand of the sea. We've gotten the idea today that, my God, that there's nobody in this battle but this little handful here. Ain't nobody serving God but Island Ford Baptist Church. All the rest of them full of hell. Don't nobody know God. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, the church of the living God is not going down. We're going up. God's not done with it yet. And we're living in a great multitude of believers. Those that have gone on, those that are now, and those that will be after us make up a great multitude of people for God. Listen what John said. John said in Revelation 7:9, he said, after this I beheld, and a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, all kindred and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. He said there's a great multitude. I'm going to ask you something this morning, friend. Are you in the great multitude that's standing before the throne and before the Lamb? Have your robes been made white in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, are you giving glory this morning unto the Lamb of God? Have you been to Calvary? Have you been redeemed? Are you in the number? I'm thankful this morning that I'm in the number of the redeemed. I've been to Calvary. I'm blood bought, blood washed, blood saved, sealed, and going to glory. And thank God there's a coming a day when I'm going to get around the throne of God. Oh, enter the Lamb and say, you're worthy of glory and honor. I'm talking about a great multitude, friend. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. Represents the church in their great number. I want to say it represents the church in their growth. In their growth. Listen up now. Don't nobody leave me. Somebody tell me where your hair grows from. Out ahead. What are we growing from this morning? Out ahead. Now I've got news for you. Everybody get a hold of this. It ought to make you run this morning. Had an undertaker to tell me once. He said, preacher, he said, when you put a body in the grave, he said, everything about that body dies. Its arms, its legs, its feet, its eyes,
its nose, everything about that body, on its body all the way, my friend, is a dead thing. And it begins to rot and deteriorate. He said, but as long as there's a scalp and as long as there's a head, he said, the hair in the casket just continues to grow. Are you getting a hold of that this morning? I'm telling you, my friend, our head died, but He rose again. And we're growing, hallelujah to God, from the head. I'm glad this morning that I'm grounded and I'm rooted. I'm rooted in the head, hallelujah, of growing in the head.
Are you growing? You got any growth? Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians 4:15. He said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Look here. What is your hair dependent upon? What's your hair rooted in? Your hair is dependent upon your head. You ever heard anybody say, my goodness, he pulled that hair out by the roots? Your hair is dependent upon the head, and your hair is rooted in the head. I'm glad, oh, praise God, I'm glad this morning. Whoop! Oh, I need a little help, Brother Jerry. I'm glad this morning I am rooted in Christ. I'm dependent on Christ. It's because I've got a root. I'm telling you the reason that the seed in Matthew 13 did not grow is because they had no root in them. But I'm glad, like the hairs of the flock of goats, that I'm rooted in the head, which is Christ, and I'm growing nourishment and strength from Him, and I depend entirely upon Him this morning. Come on, help me, church. Huh? I want to say also, I'm about ready to throw them glasses away. Hallelujah. Not only the saints of God in their great number, and in their growth that proceeds out from Him, but I want to say the hair, my friend, is a thing that glorifies our body. Amen. Are you listening to me? Son, a good head of hair on a woman, and it groomed just right. Son, there's something about it. My wife asked me one time, said, how do you want my hair? Do you want it short? Do you want it kind of long? Do you want it wrapped up in one of them little knots on top of your head? I never could figure out why folks wanted to wrap their hair up in a knot on the head and look like a pile of cow manure, but some of them do it. I don't know why. But they do it. I'm not fussing at them. That's just up to them. But I'm here to tell you, I told my wife, I said, I like your hair to kind of be down and kind of long and keep it clean and throw a little curl in it. I'm telling you, everything ought to have a little curl. Our preaching ought to have a little curl. Our singing ought to have a little curl. Our worship ought to have a little curl. Our praising ought to have a little curl. I'm telling you, the saints of God are not just straight and strung out. Let your heart, they got a little bit of curl in them. What I'm saying is, do something with your hair, let your heart, and make it look right in the eyes of Almighty God. Have a little curl about you. I want you to hear me well. Now, if you're a lady and your hair is straight and that's the hair God's given you, I'm not talking about that. I want you to understand that. But I'm not talking about that. I'm speaking spiritually that we ought to have a little curl. And that's the way I want my wife's hair. You know why? It distinguishes between her and I. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, sir. And now somebody said, preacher, why did she do her hair like that? Because it glorifies me. May I say to you this morning that our hair, that as a child of God, we are called upon to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is to honor Him and to glorify Him. Honor Him by obeying His Word. Honor Him by walking, my friend, uprightly. Honor Him by being honest. Honor Him by being having integrity. Glorify Him by doing right, tithing, going to church, reading your Bible, praying and serving God. I'm just simply saying, as the hair glorifies the head of the woman, my friend, you and I ought to glorify the Lord Jesus in our Christian life.
Now, I don't want to get too hot on that because I'm going somewhere with it. Notice here what Paul said. He said in 2 Thessalonians 1:10, he said, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints.
Amen.
When he comes to be glorified in his saints.
Amen.
We ought to glorify him.
Amen.
Has it ever occurred to you, neighbor, that you're all of Christ that some people ever see?
Amen.
You're all that they'll see. No wonder we're to be light in this world and salt in this earth, because we're all. He said, keep your hair groomed right, because there's folks looking at your hair. I'm here to tell you this morning, keep your life, keep your body, keep your conversation aright with God, because somebody is looking at your life this morning. You're all they'll ever see of the Lord Jesus. What do you want them to see? You want them to see some old scaggly Jesus? You want to present him as being scaggly? Nasty? Somebody said, well, preacher, I don't go nasty. What about your mouth? What about your mouth? What about your potty jokes? I don't want to get ahead of myself. But what about your activities out in the public? How much about you does the public know? There's a preacher in our area not long ago, and I'm not telling you who he is. Don't ask me. Not on the air. I might tell you if you ask me in private. There's a preacher in our area not long ago, not in Madisonville, but in our area not long ago, resigned his church and left. And a little while after he left, came out in the newspaper a big ad that said that man had filed bankruptcy in that county. And then filed bankruptcy and fled to another place. I'm going to tell you, it left a black mark on the community. It left a black mark on his testimony. It put a black mark on the house of God where he tended. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friend, when people's conduct, Brother Mark, when their conversation is not aright, oh, yes, and when their sin finds them out, and when their name appears in the newspaper, and when they've disgraced their family, and when they've disgraced the house of God, when they've brought reproach upon the house of God where they're a member, they ought to have enough grace about them, and they will have if they saved, to get in front of the church and ask the church to forgive them of the heinous sin and crime that they committed against the house of God, for all they've done is put a black mark on the testimony of Christ, oh yes, and hinder sinners from being saved.
Amen.
I read the newspaper. I look at the court proceedings almost every day. I keep up on things of that. Who's been busted? You'd be surprised at the names of religious people.
Amen.
Church members, Baptist church members.
Amen.
That you find in the newspapers that's been got for shoplifting, writing bad checks, theft by deception,
Amen.
Disorderly conduct, spousal abuse.
Amen.
All in there. And there's their name in boxcar letters. Some of it even comes out even in written articles in the newspaper. And I wonder how many of those folks have ever walked down to the house of God and say, church, I've disgraced you. I've been a disgrace to Christ. I've sinned against light and sinned against God. My hair is not very pretty. The style that I have is not very pretty. I've let some knots and ravelings get in my hair. It's not been kept. It's dirty and unclean. It's not been combed. It's not been curled. It's not been blow dried. It's not been hosed down, sprayed down. Oh, yes. And some of you ought to spray her down to hold her up. I'm telling you, our hair will generally fall unless there's something to hold it up. There's hairspray that you can hold it up. I'm glad the spray of the Holy Ghost, blessed be God, is able to hold me up and make me walk straight in the eyes of the public. I want to say, hair's like the saints because we're groomed by Him. He grooms us.
Somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, you're a moron if you don't believe it. Just like every woman is responsible in her grooming of her hair, God Almighty, the Lord Jesus, is responsible in grooming the saints of God. What did Paul say in Ephesians 5:26-27? That He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He is grooming His saints. Son, I'm telling you, get in the labor. Get in the labor of the Word of God. And get a good bath this morning. Get yourself cleansed this morning. Oh, let the Holy Ghost take the Word of God, amen, and make you holy by it, that you might be without a spot and without a wrinkle. I'm going to tell you, sometimes He's got to add a little bleach. And when He goes ironing out some of them wrinkles, He's got to turn the heat up on the iron pretty high. And most irons these days, you've got to put a little water in them. Heat and water get out the wrinkles. Now I'm here to tell you, pressure and trials coupled with the Word of God, bless your little heart, will get out the wrinkles. Oh yeah, and the Clorox bleach will get out all the spots. I'm here to tell you the Holy Ghost is a grooming God's people. If you think, my friend, you're going to heaven and your life full of sin and full of hell, and I'm just, hey, I'm not just talking about the outer garments that we wear right now. I'm talking about our life in the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about our conversation. If you think you're going to hell, heaven leaning toward hell all your life, amen to God, all you've done is run, cuss, drank, shot craps and played cards and went to the theater houses, oh yes, whole mugged and this and that. Son, I've got news for you. You ain't a going to glory. Fornicators, adulterers, and all that mess, they're not a going to glory. Oh no, you're going to have to be clean in the eyes of God if you're going. Hallelujah. Feel like God's helped me preach, but I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like it's just falling over like water on a duck's back. Just being honest with you. Hair represents the saints in their going. I'm talking about their departure. Me and Miss Hall washes our hair and we stand beside that mirror in our bathroom and we comb it out. And she stands there and fixes her hair. About 2 or 3 days later, there's hairs all over the floor around us. I noticed one thing about that. I'm going to thank God they didn't all fall out at the same time. They all falling out a little at a time. But you know something? If you've got a pretty good... Oh, Brother Jerry, I'm not telling about you, son. I love you. You know that. Praise God. He knows what... All right. But what I'm saying, they didn't all fall out at the one side. But if you've got a good head up there, I'm going to tell you what it does. A hair will fall out and a hair will grow back. And a hair will fall out and a hair will grow back. And what hair that you've got there just keeps on growing. That's why men go to the barber shop. Say amen, men. That's why we go to the barber shop. We get a haircut. Keep it up off your ears. Keep it up off your collar, men. Let men and folks know you got a set of ears, men. And you ladies, put her down over them ears. Hallelujah to God. It's for a covering. Are you listening to me? But I'm glad it don't fall out at one time. Just one at a time here and there. Or it is anybody listening to me this morning. I'm glad the saints of God, bless your hearts, are not departing from this world all at the same time. But some one old saint will die over here, and another saint will die over there, and another saint will die over here, and they're going out one at a time. Somebody said, preacher, what about them hairs that fall out? Don't worry about it. I'm here to tell you that every hair on our head is numbered, my friend. Oh, and by the way, not a one of them, I said not a one of them shall ever be lost. Son, oh, glory to God, the hair that He gives you will be there on your glorified body in eternity. Not one of them will be lost, and not one saint will ever be lost.
Amen.
Just like the hairs on your head's numbered, the saints of God are numbered.
Amen.
He knows you by name, Brother Andy. Paul said something to one of them churches, I can't remember who it was. It said something about that they know God. He said, or rather, they're known by God.
Amen.
You glad God knows you? Amen. Paul said that I might know Him. That's a blessing to be saved, and it's a blessing to know Him in the respect Paul was talking about. But I'm going to tell you what, if I had my had to take a choice, I'd rather He knows me.
Amen.
He's prayed that not one of them would be lost.
Amen.
Son, that old hair falls out of the head, and we sweep it up and put it in the dustpan, at least Miss Hall does. I can't put hers in the trash. I just love her too much to put her hair in a garbage can. Sweep them old hairs up and put them in the trash, and we say goodbye to them. I'm going to tell you what, friend. It ain't that way in the spiritual world. It ain't that way in life. We stood by that old grave. Are you hearing me? Stood by that graveside over there where Miss Reba was laid to rest. And I looked at old Brother Harold's marker, his headstone and her headstone together, husband and wife. There was old Brother Harold. Went out, I believe, in 1987. Right at the foot of Brother Harold, I looked, and there was old Brother Ron Montgomery. Used to be the vice president of the bank up in Henryville where we did business. He's the one that gave me the money to go to school along when we left up there. There laid old Brother Ron Montgomery laying there. I looked around. I saw a marker down there, kind of a black granite marker, and had Brock on the side of it. I walked down and walked around on the other side of that marker. There was old Marlon Brock, my old running boy in school. And when I was going, before I ever went in the military, and when I come back from the military, me and him run together. I mean, we had a time. We did some things that God ought not to be done. But we were friends, and I loved it. There was old Brock, just less than a year older than what I am. And there was old Marlon, had his picture and his wife Linda's picture on that tombstone. He was standing there, had them sunglasses on, boy. I had a suit on, had a bow tie. I said, Lord God, I ain't never seen Brock in a bow tie. He was dutied up, showing up. Somebody said, preacher, what are you saying? The last time I talked to old Marlon, walked into the hospital in Jeffersonville, Indiana to see my daddy. When I left that room that night, strolling down the hall, a woman come out of a door. And I noticed she just kept looking at me, and I'm glad she was a stare. I said, ma'am, is there something I can do for you? And she said, I'm wondering if I know you. I said, I'm Gary Hall. She said, I'm Linda Brock. And it hit me. I said, you're Marlon's wife, yes. I said, is he in here? Said, he's back here in the room. He's had a lung cancer. Said, they don't know. And said, they operated and got the thing and said a blood clot developed. And they put a strainer in there to try to strain the blood clot. And said, it ain't doing good. But I'll never forget that night. Are y'all listening now? I walked into that room, Brother Andy, where old Brock was at. He didn't say, hey, Gary, how you doing? Let's go drink a beer. Oh, he didn't say, let's get in the car and go running around. I walked in the room and that right arm went up. He said, pray for me. Pray for me! Pray for me! Pray for me! I said, Marlon, I'll pray the best I can. I said, son, are you saved? He said, I hope so. I've asked God to save me. I hope I'm saved and I go into glory. But he's dead, and we're dead, and only God knows. But I believe he got in, and that hair fell in the ground. I stood in that grave, son, on last Thursday with hope in my soul that old Marlon Brock, oh, that hair had got it plucked from the head, that hair that had fell from the flock of goats and went on to the dust was going to rise again, come out of the grave with victory.
Yes.
Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what time it is. I don't know how much y'all can stand. I said it represents the saints. I want to say, secondly, not only does it represent the saints in general, but that hair represents the saints in their separation.
Amen.
I said separation. I'm talking about from the eyes of the world.
Amen.
Somebody said, Brother Hall, how can that be? I'm talking about your outward conversation of life.
Amen.
Somebody said, oh, Brother Hall, you're going to... Oh, I'm going to preach on it. Your separation. What was that hair used for? What? Hey. For a woman's hair is her glory, but it's also what? Covering. Do you think it's a coincidence that Brother Wayne taught them in Sunday school class and talked about those linen breeches that went on underneath all those clothes that covered up all of your flesh, and then the robe and all that went over the top of it?
Amen.
He said it was given to cover up the flesh that no nakedness should be seen. Oh, I like what Brother Wayne said. He said he wasn't even over there where they work, had a shower house, and he didn't even feel right walking in that shower house with all men and peeling off his clothes and revealing his body to all those men. I say amen to God to it. Amen to God. I'm sick and tired of going downtown or even in front of some Baptist churches and other churches. All you see is a bunch of naked, half-naked, three-quarter naked heifers running around and men in their stinking Bermuda shorts and tank tops. The old hairy varicose veins are hanging out. I'm here to tell you, my friend. Oh, yes, sir. That hair is for a covering. And son, we ought to be separated. Our flesh, our nakedness ought to be covered in public that we not disgrace the name of God. God have mercy. And I'm just on the out perimeter of it now. God have mercy on a man or a woman, son, that names the name of Christ, runs around with their old hips hanging out, old flabby, ugly things. Old ugly varicose veins look like spider webs up and down their legs. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't like it." God does like it. I just believe folks ought to live right. And I believe folks ought to cover themselves right. And I don't believe they ought to cover themselves with bullfighting breeches that looks like 5 pounds of sausage stuffed in a 2 pound bag either. Fellow that we all, a whole lot of us in here knows, made a remark about a woman out on a job one day in a pair of breeches and how it was revealing. And he claims to love God and be saved, a member of a church. Saw her body part so revealing and made an obscene statement about it. I'm going to tell you who was wrong in that deal. Both of them. Let's God, that Bible says that we're to dress in modest apparel. Oh, yes, sir. We are to be dressed in modest apparel, not gaudy and haughty, and son, not revealing and not seductive, but in modest apparel that our shame and our disgrace and our nakedness not be revealed to those around us. Right. Burned that funeral the other day, and some woman. Little old girl, wasn't a woman, had on a little old skirt. Wasn't that her legs? Looked like sparrow legs. Looked about like a sparrow walking around. I saw one down at the cemetery. I thought, God help, she come walking from way off. There she come walking up through there. Had on a dress about that long and hose on. And when she got up there, right down there on one of her legs, a great big old tattoo. I'm telling you, I'm so sick of tattoos and pierced ears and pierced noses and all that mess in the tongue. Somebody said, it's been a long time since you got on this. It's about time we broke the ice. Praise God and reminded some of these young kids that the piercing of your ears and markings in your flesh is against the law of God. Oh, and against the Word of God. I'm here to tell you, friend, we don't need markings on our bodies. I tell you what we need is a mark in our hearts. We need the marks of the Holy Cross of God. Oh, yes, the marks of the cross are to bear in our body to the glory of God. Hallelujah. I say that hair represents the saints, and it represents the saints in their separation because it's for a covering. If you please, it is a garment. Brother Wayne, I don't have time to preach your garments. But it's a type of the garments that clothe us. We could use it as a breastplate of righteousness. The mitre on the head. Are you listening? The linen breeches. The breastplate. Now I'm here to say, but I want to get on the conversation of our life. How we live out yonder. How do we live out yonder? It's our clothing. And it ought to be the right kind. Hair is a covering. And it ought to be the right kind. Listen to what Brother Paul said. You've heard this so many times. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Now, I'm telling you, I'm sick and tired of people, my friend, naming the name of Christ, and you can't tell whether they're a child of God or whether they're a worldly. Somebody said, oh, look at me, preacher. I look fine this morning on Sunday morning. A lot of them do on Sunday morning, and a lot of them don't. But I'm wondering how they look on Monday mornings when they get up out of the bed, how they dress during the week, how they conduct themselves during the week. They go to church on Sunday morning saying, oh, how I love Jesus. Go out on Monday morning on the job, sit down and start listening to little potty jokes, telling filthy jokes in their conversation immediately. Tells that man that they're talking to, or that woman they're conversing with, my friend, that they are a Christ, a hypocrite. They're an actor. They don't know God if he walked in front of them. I'm simply telling you this morning, does your conversation of life, is it becoming of the saints of God?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wake up now. Huh? Have you come out from among them? I'm sick and tired. You can't tell the difference in them. We've gotten so close to the world. We want to be like it, look like it, smell like it, act like it. Love not the world. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, love the Father. Is not in him. No sirree, buddy. I'm going to say, secondly, their hair must be in the right order. I'm going to run that by you again. Hair must be in the right order.
Amen.
I'm sick and tired of seeing these. You ever seen these folks? And they got a bob of hair hanging up this way. And they got a bob of hair hanging down this way. And they got it one color. Like pardon the expression, hell on a frieze. It's pitiful.
Amen.
It's because there's no order in it.
Amen.
How would you like me if I come in here this morning like this? Go on, preach to us, Brother Hall.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you what I do, son. I wash my hair, I part my hair, comb my hair, and I put it in order. I put every hair on my head in the right place that it ought to be. Now, I'm telling you, our separation from the world ought to have order in it.
Amen.
Well, yes, it ought to be an orderly thing, not mixed and mummaged and wallered around.
Amen.
Amen to God. And it ought to be ordered according to the Word of God.
Amen.
The rule of the Word of God. Psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 133, order my steps in thy word.
Amen.
And let not any iniquity have dominion over me.
Amen.
Is your life ordered by the Word of God? Do you get your marching orders from the Bible?
Amen.
What do you base your decisions on? Hey, what do you base your conduct on? Oh, I know, Brother Hall, the Bible said we ought to be honest. But I'm going to steal just a little bit from my employer if I can. I'm going to sit down on the job and steal his time and steal his tools. There's a man left this church and loaded up every credit card he had with cash and then filed bankruptcy and told members of this church he was going to spoil the Egyptians. Now I'm going to say, I can see heads are falling already. I'm telling you, that is not honest, my friend. That is dishonesty. Not only is it dishonesty, it's being a thief. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I'm going to tell you something. They've been members of this church that sat down with that fellow and his family. They've been members of this church that we give money to monthly, have invited them in their homes and lied about them being there. Oh, yes, would not go to preach in a revival meeting that they were invited to preach in because that fellow was coming out and sat down with him, had him there for a week, and told one of our members, when one of our members told them how things was, they said, "Oh, we didn't hear things that way." In other words, Brother Hall is just a blooming liar and don't know what's going on. Now, I'm here to tell you, Brother Hall may not be as stupid as some of you think. Brother Hall's been pretty long suffering with some egg suckers. Are you listening to me? Men stood there and called everybody else under the sun an egg sucker. Some of them turned out to be egg suckers themselves. I'm talking about dishonest. How much more dishonest can you be than that? Lying and dishonesty. I'm talking about our conduct and our conversation before a lost and a dying world. How in God's name can we ever have revival and evangelism if our life doesn't bear out the fruits of the cross and tell the story of Jesus and His love to a lost and dying world around us? Hallelujah to God. There ought to be an order. I want to ask you something. How come you all laughed? What did you see so stinking funny when I done my hair like that? What did you laugh for? Come on, help me. What did you laugh for? Nobody laughed at my necktie. Nobody laughed at my shirt or my slacks or my shoes. What did you laugh about my hair? I'm going to tell you why. Because my hair was obvious to everybody in this room. Everybody in here saw my hair. First thing most people notice on an individual is their hair. It's obvious, should I say conspicuous, everybody. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, our separation and our standards is manifest to everybody around us. Our life is conspicuous. I had somebody come in today and said, "Hey, I seen old so-and-so said all he had on was a pair of shorts." Said he didn't have anything on, a pair of shorts and a pair of sandals. Name's the name of Christ, Miss Sharon. What are you saying, Brother Hall? I'm saying our lifestyle. Our conversation, the way we live, the way we pay our bills, the way we conduct ourselves around others, our honesty, our integrity, all that, my friend, is known to everybody. You live in a glass house. You can't hide yourself from the world. They know you. Somebody out there knows you.
Amen.
It's obvious. I want to say, I'm closing with this point. It may take me a few minutes to get through it, and I hope not long. Just 12 minutes to 1. We'll be done around 1:30, 2 o'clock. The saints of God, the hair represents the saints of God. It represents the separation of the saints of God, but it also represents the sanctification of the saints of God. Where does your hair come and grow from? From within! Where does your life out there, where does it grow from? For out of the heart proceed the issues of life. As so a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, and all that. I'm simply saying, my friend, that the reason we live the way we live out there is because of what we got on the inside. And the fact of the matter is, ain't too many Baptists got a whole lot on the inside. They're hollow as a drum. They're lost. They're lost. The reason you can't live right. I said that Christ grooms the head. He grows the head. He cares for the hair. He takes care of the hair. And the reason you can't live right and conduct right is because you don't have anybody at home on the inside to direct you and tell you how to live.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm making any friends this morning. Son, I'm telling you what. Glory to God. Woo! Hair grows from within.
beautifies the outward man, even so our outward conversation, which is separation, has its origin from the inner heart, or from the heart. It has its origin. Separation has its origin from sanctification. Everybody look right up at me. Sanctification ain't nothing but consecration. It's holiness.
Amen.
In other words, how holy we are on the inside determines how we're going to walk on the outside.
Amen.
That's why people can't live right. There ain't nobody home. You're lost.
Right,
I love you, but you're lost.
Amen.
That's why there's no victory over sins in your life. You're lost.
Amen.
Can't quit smoking. Can't throw a television out of your house.
Amen.
Can't come to church right. You can't do nothing right. You're lost.
Amen.
I'm not being ugly. I love you, but you're lost.
Amen.
Can't make right decisions and spiritual decisions in matters. You're lost.
Amen.
A man is on the outside, but what he possesses on the inside.
Amen.
That's right. What about your thoughts? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he.
Amen.
Your heart, man. I'm talking about the heart. We talk around about long hair on men, short hair on women, and all this. And as far as the saints of God, that's necessary. But I'm here to tell you something, my friend. That it won't help a lost man to get his hair right. Neither will it help a lost woman to get her hair right. Son, there's got to be a revolutionary change on the inside. Oh, there's got to be a regenerating power. A working on the heart to recreate that individual in the newness of Christ that they may walk under the power of God. Oh yes, and have power that they may separate themselves from the world and sanctify themselves unto God and live a glorious life for Him. Run way down where the rubber meets the road now. I'm talking about the heart. Son, I'm going to tell you what we need in people's heart change. You know why we ain't praying no more? We need a heart change.
Amen.
Tell you why we can't come to church and worship. We need a heart change. I'll tell you why the spirit, my friend, is low, so low you'd have to get a stepladder to tie its own shoes. I'm going to tell you why it is. There's a heart problem.
Amen.
There's a heart problem.
Amen.
Son, when you get down and can't get up, there's a heart problem. The life that you're living out there, always discouraged, always defeated. Have you looked up? Have you checked up? Brother Brown told me on Friday night that he thought the problem with Bible Baptist Church was they rejected light when I preached a 2-week meeting for them. And I understand he's listening to the messages. And he came and preached shortly after I did, and he said, I'm going to tell you, he said, it was altogether different. The liberty was gone, the power was gone, it was altogether different. He said, I really believe in the 2 weeks you were there, it told the tale on that church. And they rejected the light that God gave them, and God wrote Ichabod on the door, and that's why they're in a stinking mess they're in this morning.
Amen.
Now I'm here to tell you, church, it's a dangerous thing to close your eyes to the truth.
Amen.
Oh, yes, sir. Oh, yes, sir. Especially for folks that are claimed to be saved and in this church, you close your eyes to truth. I'm telling you, God, oh, somebody said God can't do it. God can!
Amen.
And God will!
Amen.
He told the church in Ephesus, if you don't repent and do the first works, they had left their love. He said, I'll take away your candlestick.
Amen.
You don't get your heart right with God. Oh, yeah. And let the love of Christ boil up like a raging inferno in your soul. Quit trying to kiss God with cold lips and love Him with a dead heart. Get fervent in your love and fervent in your worship, or else I'll come unto you and take away your candlestick from out of its place. I'm telling you, God will shut a church down, friend. And I'm gonna be honest. I am with you like Paul was with the Corinthian church. I stand in doubt of you. I fear for you.
Amen.
To think that where we appeared to be 4 years ago and where we are now, and it seems to be getting worse rather than better.
Amen.
And I wonder how much light we've received.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
I'm telling you this because I love you, folks. I mean that. I could stay here all day with you today. You are my folks. You're my companion. You're my fellowship. My friends, you're the sheep of my pasture. I love you. But I wonder about those thoughts of the heart. What are you thinking right now? What kind of thoughts?
Amen.
Are they sanctified thoughts? I'm going to tell you the kind of thoughts we ought to have. We ought to have holy thoughts.
Amen.
Keep our minds stayed upon the Lord. Paul said, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, and if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
What are you thinking about today? Truth? Purity, virtue, holy thinking. Holy thinking.
Amen.
Sanctified life, a holy heart. Thinking on God. Holy thoughts. What about high thoughts? Get this now. Where were the flock of goats? Where were they at? In the valley of Megiddo? Where were they, Brother Jerry? Remember? Remember? Does anybody remember? Our hairs of the flock of goats. On Mount? You mean we're like a flock of goats on a mountain? And if it's sanctification, it's talking about a high and a holy thing. A mountain is always a type of either government or something holy. Christ died on Mount Calvary. The law was given on Mount Sinai. And the flock of goats were on Mount Gilead, a high and a lofty place. Somebody said, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying our thoughts ought to be high and they ought to be holy. Quit thinking on earthly things. Stop minding earthly things. Get your minds off earthly things. They're temporal. They're going to burn up. They're going to go to hell.
Amen.
Let your thoughts ascend up on high.
Amen.
And dwell for a while on the everlasting, unchangeable love of Almighty God. Thank you, Miss Sharon.
Amen.
Does it help you? Thank God. Are you thinking on Him? If that old heart has been sanctified,
yes.
It's a holy heart on the inside, son, and out of the heart proceed the issues of life.
Yes.
Well, the thoughts of the mind are developed in the heart of man. And I'm not talking about that pumping gizzard, son.
Amen.
I'm talking about a man's inner man, in that inner man.
Amen.
You think upon His unchangeable, everlasting, eternal, glorious,
yes.
Marvelous, wonderful,
yes.
Wonderful love of God.
Amen.
You keep your mind upon the invisible realities. I said the invisible reality.
Amen.
Somebody said there ain't nothing invisible real. Oh, I beg to differ with you, friend. Faith
Amen.
Is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Woo! Do you keep your mind, your thoughts upon the invisible world reality, the real world that is to come?
Amen.
I'm going to tell you something, friends. Are you listening to me this morning? That is the only real thing there is in life, is the world that's to come. Because life as you know it, and the world as you know it, and buildings as you know them, and the oceans as you know them, and the rivers and the seas and the beaches, and all, and the movie houses and the automobiles and the boats and all that mess. They're not real! They're temporal! They're going down the tube, friend! I'm going to tell you. I look for new heavens and a new earth. Wherein dwelleth righteousness. Oh, yes. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God the Father. And I'm looking for something that hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. Oh, that world is going to dissolve with a fervent heat. But I'm glad, thank God, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in the very blood of the Son of God. Because in the, and we're an eternal, everlasting being that shall never, never perish, because God has set His love and affection upon us. Hallelujah. Feel like I could dance a little bit, praise God. What about your thoughts upon the glorious cross? At the cross, where I first saw the light. That hair was long. That means that our thoughts, the longer that hair on those goats were, the higher our thoughts ought to be elevated.
Yeah.
We spend so much time with our thoughts on our bills. Our home. Other people. What about thinking on the cross?
Amen.
Oh, up Calvary's mountain, one dreadful morn, walk Christ my Savior, weary and worn, facing for sinners death on the cross,
Amen.
That He might save us from endless law. Blessed Redeemer, oh precious Redeemer, I shut my eyes, seems now I see Him.
Woo!
On Calvary's tree. What's He doing, Brother Hall? Wounded and bleeding, for sinners pleading, and like a little female lamb, blind and unheeding, dying for me.
Amen.
Oh, at the cross. What about
Amen.
Spiritual blessings and precious promises in this book? Holy thoughts and high thoughts. What about happy thoughts?
Amen.
Folks, say some happy thoughts. I believe we're saved, we can have some happy thoughts in our hearts. I close with this and I'm done. And I hate to close on this note. I'm not going to preach it. I'm just going to give it to you. There are some harmful thoughts that can proceed out of the heart. I want to ask you something. What happens to your hair when you walk out into a strong wind? Somebody tell me. Nothing to Brother Andy. He ain't got enough hair, that's right. Angie, what would happen to your hair if you walked out into I'm talking about a strong gale, a lot of wind. Blow everywhere, wouldn't it? The thoughts of our heart are many. And just like the wind can toss your hair about, if you're not right careful, you can let the thoughts of your heart be tossed about with every wind of doctrine. And it just disarrays it. And then again, then there, you see no order, no comeliness, no beauty. But if we keep our thoughts fixed upon Christ,
Amen.
In closing, is God pleased with your hairstyle? Let's stand together, please. I appreciate you listening to me. I've done my best. And I believe I preached what God put on my heart. And I believe I preached it in power. I don't know how it was received, but I know when God's helping me. God helped me this morning. How about it? Brother Steve, would you come and lead us in an invitation hymn with Mrs. Hall? Would you mind doing that, just as I am, or something like that? I want to ask you this morning, how's your hairstyle? Pleasing God? What I'm saying is, how's your life, folks? Are you regenerated by the power of God? Does Christ live in you, the hope of glory? Have you been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? I'm going to pray in just a minute. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, I want to invite you to get out of that pew and come to an old-fashioned altar. Ask Christ this morning to save you if He's dealing with your heart. If He's dealing with your heart, if you know He's spoken to your heart, then I urge you to come to Him this morning. If you're a child of God this morning and your life, your conversation has not been what it ought to be, this altar's open for you. Won't you get things right with God this morning? Be a wonderful time. I believe we could really have revival this morning if just a little handful of folks would just do what they know God wants them to do. I believe we could have real revival.